Welcome to the R&R Show with Sam and Jacob from First Baptist Church of Sanford. We're here to give you a ready response as we apply God's Word to some of life's questions. Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to R&R. We are going to take a topic today that is not necessarily along the same lines that we've been following this year. But we feel like this is a special episode, a special show. Jacob, let's talk about signs, omens, and messages today.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about signs. Does God send you signs? Does he send you omens? You know, does he do things in your life to make you understand or do something? Me and some of my friends are always goofing around. If something really bad happens, I'll always be like, oh, that's a bad omen. Today is not going to be a good day. You know, we kind of joke about it, but does that actually happen? Does God send you signs, tell you stuff? So just going to totally put him on the spot. DJ Roy, do you think you have ever had a sign or an omen from God?
Out of all the questions you could have asked me, yeah. Actually, I do.
So, yeah. All right. This should be interesting.
So when I was in high school, and it's kind of a somber thing. So I apologize for bringing the mood down already.
Oh, bummer. Okay.
When I was in high school, I woke up one morning and I felt really, really weird. Like I felt like something was off and I couldn't tell you what it was at the time. I was like, man, something just doesn't feel right. I even told my parents, hey, something doesn't feel right about today. As soon as I get to the school, I find out that one of my best friends had committed suicide the night before.
Oh.
Mm. And there was something about that morning when I woke up, I was like, man, something does not feel right. Like something tells me this is not going to be a good day. And that's what it was, because once I got to school, I was like, oh, wow, this makes more sense why I feel like I did. But, yeah, I fully believe that there are certain signs or feelings that are sent to you by God that says, like, hey, you know, maybe take a step back today. Or, hey, maybe you should take a step forward today.
Mm.
But, cool. Yeah.
All right, what about you, Sam? You ever had something happen where you're like, I think this is a sign from God?
Well, I think there have been moments in my life, especially as a new Christian, even though I became a Christian as a young adult, I was introduced to the Christian faith by a certain kind of strain. I want to say strain of Christianity. That's probably not the right word, but a certain kind of segment of Christianity that was very much into signs, very much into trying to look at things that happen. I was even told by one of the church leaders, if something happens and you say, oh, that's weird, that's God. That was kind of the way they thought about things, and trying to determine God's will from circumstances in life. So just one thing that stands out, I mean, I know there were times when I would just think about opening my Bible to a particular page and think God was speaking to me particularly in that chapter in a unique way, because I happen to open it and see, oh, there's a verse that says such and such. But one thing that stands out, I remember trying to make the decision about which law school to apply to. And I had narrowed it down somewhat, but I still was struggling about the one place where I really should pursue. Rather than just trying a shotgun approach, I made the decision, I'm just going to focus on one particular school. And there's this book, I think it's called the U.S. Guide and Survey to Law Schools or something like that. The Guide and Survey to U.S. Law Schools, maybe more accurate. Anyway, opened it up, and lo and behold, it was one of the schools that I had known about, I was interested in, and ended up applying there, going there. I look back on that, and I say, I don't think that was God. But then again, some great things happened to me while I was there. At the top of the list, I met my, who would become my wife, while she was attending pharmacy school there. So, I spent a lot of time in my Christian life and early on thinking that God was definitely sending signs. And yet, I remember a couple years after that, after graduating from law school, I was practicing law, and I came across this gentleman, and we became friends. We had a common hobby, tennis, and great guy, but he was part of a church called the Church of Signs and Wonders.
I'm getting the heebie-jeebies already.
And yet Steve was a I think, a great husband, great father, great friend, I'm sure. I didn't know him that long. But just to hear him talk, that really got me thinking about this issue and led me to examine this more closely. And so I am of the opinion that God did not necessarily speak to me about going to this particular law school by my opening up the book and landing on that page. We can talk more about this, but just that's a kind of a roundabout way to answer your question.
I gotcha. Yeah, I'll make fun of myself for a second. The first thing that I remember as far as God talking to us through signs, I went to youth camp when I was in like eighth grade, I think. And we had this preacher, and he kind of used this passage of scripture out of context. His sermon was on John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And he kind of told all of us kids, if you've never heard God talk to you, are you really saved? You know, and it was kind of this scary into getting the right sermon. And so I'm in the eighth grade, and I go home, and I'm like, I don't know. I've never heard an audible voice, and I'm kind of freaking out, you know, and I'm like, God, I think I'm saved, but I don't think I've ever heard you talk to me. And this is going to be totally weird and random, but I had this ceiling fan in my room. You guys ever had one of the ceiling fans that once you turn on, it starts wobbling, making a noise? My ceiling fan's turned on. It's on full blast, and it starts wobbling, wah, 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 wah. And I'm like, Lord, is that you trying to talk to me through the ceiling fan? Maybe if I listen hard enough, I can discern some word.
Well, no, if you reverse the direction, you're going to hear the devil.
Yeah, that's what happens. Sam with just the showed his age with back mask. Yeah, yeah. So if I play it backwards, then what is it? The Walrus is Alive or Number 9?
Led Zeppelin.
There you go. Yep. So, yeah, completely ridiculous. I'm going to say it's because I was a new Christian and in the eighth grade, but this pastor had such an emphasis on hearing and signs and stuff like that. That's kind of what we're talking about today. So, how about this, Sam? Are there any good, positive stories or traditions that we have about... I forgot about that.
Yeah, before we jump into that...
Sam really does not want me to forget my Tiger King reference. You'll enjoy this, Roy. So, talking about signs and omens, I think the pandemic had just gotten started for like a couple of months before Tiger King came with Roy turning his mic on like, yeah, I want to talk about Tiger King.
If I'm here, I'm here.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the pandemic had just started. It was the beginning of, like, 2020, and they were like, this thing's only going to last for 15 days. And then, like, half of America finds themselves watching this terrible documentary on Netflix called Tiger King. And mm-hmm. I remember about three episodes in being like, this is just not a good omen for how the year is going to go. This is a bad sign. Do you agree with that, Roy?
Yeah, and that was the thing. Like, I think... It's funny because I've always equated to when we went on lockdown here in Sanford. The last day of actual school was March 13th, a Friday the 13th.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense.
and within a few days is when the Tiger King stuff came out, and Netflix did this whole thing of, hey, while you're waiting for the world to open back up,
Watch Tiger King.
And yeah,
and the whole year.
That was definitely God.
I think that was Satan because
things got derailed on that show right out the gate almost. But like you said, yeah, around the third episode is when it was kind of like, oh, this isn't going to be good.
This is not what I thought. Yeah. I'm going to say that 2020 just kind of, Tiger King is like an analogy for 2020 because it started off kind of weird and we're like, this is odd. And then there's murder and suicide and people going
just
to court
keeps
and
yeah snowballing.
It just yeah there's all kinds of things that end up happening to where it's kind of like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, if you look at it in a retrospective manner, which I think also, and I may be talking out of turn with this, so I don't know, but if you look at things like that in a retrospective manner, that kind of is the same about, like, you know, a sign from God. Like, if you look at it after the fact, it's like, oh, okay, I could see how someone could interpret that as a sign from God. Or, oh, well, I didn't know, like, I'd stub my toe today, and then, like, later on, I'd be like, oh, man, I shouldn't have worn flip-flops. You know, that kind of thing.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think a lot of it is, like you're saying with the Tiger King stuff, looking back on it, you can
now
see it.
We do have to take a moment to say, Sam and I, as your ministerial staff, if you have not watched it, do not go and watch it.
Well, I'll just, you know... Full disclosure, I have not seen this this series, but
you're better for
I watched 48 Hours about some of the actors involved, and so that's how I learned about it. But
if you did watch Tiger King, DJ Roy and I want you to know that we both believe that Carol Baskins did feed her husband to a tiger.
No, I believe that. I didn't even watch that series.
Yeah, she did. All right, moving on. Any stories about signs from God that we can point to in a positive light, Sam?
Jacob, I think one that we both kind of point to in church history, a big one, is Martin Luther.
Yep, classic.
Yeah, Luther, I think we're thinking of the same one, where he is basically traveling in this, you know, horrendous storm, and he's just scared out of his wits. And then lightning strikes a tree right near him, and he cries out,
Save me, Saint Am.
I'll become a monk.
Yeah.
So
he was really swinging for, like, most people would have been like, save me, I'll put more in the offering plate. But Martin Luther's like, I'll become a monk.
No, he goes all in. I mean, it's not just throwing a 20 in the plate. He is saying, that's the sign. I got out of this big treacherous storm, and he goes all in, and I guess, as they say, the rest is history.
All right, so there is some positive examples that we can point to as far as signs and things like that, but...
Now, to finish the Luther story, the fact that he became a monk, we're not advocating that that was what was great, but God certainly used that in his life to lead him to be basically the key figure in the Protestant Reformation. Just saying.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to become a monk. I mean, no offense to the Catholic monks out there, but... Anyway, moving on. Let's look at some actual scripture and talk about this. First scripture that I want us to look at is Matthew chapter 12, verses 38 through 39. Jesus talking. Seems like a good place to start, right, Roy? It says, "Then some of the scribes and Pharisees answered him, saying, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.' But he answered them, 'An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah.'" So let's break that passage down a little bit there. Sam, you want to go first?
Well, I mean, this is such a key passage for this topic. We cannot water down Jesus' words. He says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign." That's pretty chilling. We don't want to be categorized in that generation, that evil and adulterous generation.
Like he didn't just call them obnoxious. He didn't say, "You guys are obnoxious for doing it." He was like, "You're evil and adulterous."
No, and the people that he's talking to, his initial audience, we see what their hearts were like. The scripture reveals that. I mean, they basically were all about themselves. They were about acquiring power and influence. They were so protective of that they ultimately crucified the Son of God. They were the ones that led the charge for that. So Jesus is basically, he's not pulling any punches. He's letting them know that this is not a good thing to seek for a sign.
Yeah. The first thing that I kind of think about when I look at the passage is, like you said, the people who are demanding a sign are the scribes and the Pharisees. That's who Jesus calls, evil and adulterous. They're right. Wanting to see a sign. But the signs themselves are not what's evil or the problem. Let's compare the scribes and the Pharisees to Jesus' disciples, all right? So scribes and the Pharisees, just generally not good guys that we like in the New Testament. Are they coming to Jesus with pure motives, sincere motives, you think, asking for a sign, or are they just wanting to be entertained?
I mean, that's what this hinges on. I mean, signs are not bad in and of themselves, but the reason that these scribes and Pharisees are seeking signs is not because they want to trust more, not that they're seeking to increase their faith or anything that has to do with godliness. They are really trying to undercut Jesus. They're basically trying to get rid of him, and their motives are completely evil.
So let's compare that to the disciples. Now, more than anybody, the disciples did get to see Jesus do signs and miracles. And I think the reason is because, one, they were following Jesus, to the best of their ability, faithfully. They were there for sincere reasons, and they were being involved in his work and ministry, right, Sam? So I think if I was going to point something out to somebody from this passage, you could be like a scribe and a Pharisee and just want to be entertained or have your own reasons, then you're not going to see God do something miraculous, probably. But if you're involved in God's ministry, what he wants you to do, and you're walking with Jesus, you're probably going to see some really cool stuff. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think it gets back to this idea that signs are not evil in and of themselves. Jesus, you know, in the book of John, our church went through that in different segments over the last year. John, the author of the Gospel of John, he selects these messianic signs, some think seven, some think eight, to show that Jesus is who he claimed to be. And so, you know, in the book of Acts, we have what they're preaching as being the truth. It's attested to by signs and miracles. So signs in and of themselves are not bad, but if you are seeking them with the wrong motives, then they can be very harmful and evil.
Yep. And this, he calls it the sign of Jonah. He says the only sign they're going to get is the sign of the prophet Jonah. Any ideas what that might be?
Well, let's think about Jonah. What is Jonah most famous for?
The whale.
The whale.
That's the whale.
That's right.
Fish, yeah.
Yeah, the whale or the big fish.
However you interpret it, I guess.
Right.
How long was he in the fish, Roy? Do you remember?
Ooh, that's a good one. Was it, I'm going to sound completely way off, was it 10 years?
That's all right. I'll put you on the spot. Okay, but you did remember the big fish.
Yeah, yes. I remember the big fish. Yeah.
That's
I was good
it.
On
That's
that one.
That's the event, and Jonah was in there, it says, Jesus says, for 3 days and three nights.
Oh, well, yeah. Almost 10 years.
Almost 10 years.
And
if we're doing 2020 time, you know, it feels like 10 years.
So Jesus is pointing to this sign of Jonah that's going to be given to the people, and that clearly is a reference to what, Jacob?
The 3 days that Jesus would spend in the tomb. Kind of the analogy, the image he's given them is Jonah was in the fish for 3 days and then came up to give them a message. You know, so the city of Nineveh could be saved by God's power. And he's saying, you know, just like that, you know, I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days and then I'm going to come out. And that will be a sign. So
right.
Let's move on to the next scripture. You want to read that one for us, Sam?
1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 22 through 24, Paul writes, "For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God."
So here we got Paul talking about the different things that people are clamoring for. Jews want signs, Greeks want wisdom. Roy, if we were to say Americans want this, like if Paul was talking today, kind of describing folks today, do you think he would say signs and wisdom, or what would he point to?
I think the way most people talk nowadays, even though I'm pretty sure we already have it, a lot of people would be like freedom. You know, we want freedom, even though that's like what all the world knows America for, is America equals freedom and liberties and everything. But I think that might be one of the things that he would point to, is like, oh yeah, Americans say they want freedom.
Sam, what do you think yeah, they would describe Americans for?
Yeah, I think that certainly describes Americans. I think another facet of the way we are is that even though it's said that we're in this postmodern age, or I don't know if we're in like the postmodern age now, but I think we're still pretty much modernist. I think that if you think of the people that we look to for advice and respect and esteem, many times, you know, those are the scientists, those are the doctors, those are the ones that, you know, their training is in the empirical sciences. And so I think we would be probably more like the Jews in the sense of a sign of, you know, manifest something to us, show us something that we can see and hear and touch.
I think if you ask me, I would say, you know, Jews want signs, Greeks want wisdom, Americans want options. You know, if I don't like this, I want to have another option. If I don't like what the Bible says here, give me this option, that option. We just want to be able to do whatever. But anyway, so Paul's comparing these people, but he says, but we preach Christ crucified. So when I'm reading this, it sounds like we're not supposed to rely so much on signs or, you know, Greek wisdom or philosophy, right, Sam? But we're supposed to focus more on Christ crucified, which kind of goes back to the last verse that, you know, they both kind of point towards the death and resurrection of Christ, right?
Yeah, Paul's saying that I'm going to come, and I've been commissioned to do this, to preach the gospel of Christ. And that's where the power is. It's in the message of the gospel. And whether it satisfies someone's demand for a sign, or whether another person thinks that it's grounded in enough of the wisdom of the day, that's okay. It doesn't really matter. I'm just going to preach it. And quite frankly, when I preach it, I understand that the Jews are going to say, that's not enough. It's, you know, this group of people, you've got to show it to me. I need to see something more sensational. Aha, I think that's what we're like today in our church life.
There you go.
But also, you know, if the Greeks of the day find me to be unintelligent, or it's just too low shelf, it just doesn't add up to what they would be impressed with as true wisdom, so be it. And that's going to happen. So Paul knew that this message was not going to be popular with a wide swath of his audience.
It kind of makes you think about how there are some, you know, famous giant mega churches or ministries that, instead of being known for their theology or focusing on Jesus, they're known for specific, you know, miracles. So, like, I'm going to put him on the spot again. DJ Roy.
Yes, sir.
If I say Benny Hinn, what comes to your mind?
Ooh.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think I'm almost positive I know who you're talking about. Because to me, whenever I see him on TV, he's kind of like bug-eyed, like, speaking really, really loudly at people. Mm-hmm. I, for the life of me, have no idea what it is that he's speaking about, because half the time it almost seems like it's in tongues.
But how about the
oh yeah, yeah, he's the one that pushes, or he like
he's
touches
one of
people.
Them. He's
yeah.
one of
yeah, he's one of those people that like touches you on the head and he's like, you shall be healed.
Yeah,
and
that's a great preacher voice there.
I know.
There's some places that I think instead of being known for being wrapped up in Jesus, they're known for, you know, healing or miraculous signs or things like that. Do you feel like that maybe kind of contradicts what we're seeing here in 1 Corinthians, where it talks about these people want this, they want that, but we preach Christ Jesus crucified? Do you kind of get what we're saying?
Yeah, I get what you're saying about that one. Like, you know, try to follow more with the, was it John? Yes, John. What John said. With the, you know, we're followers of the Christ crucified, instead of like, hey, you need to find that sign that says, you know, you should turn to God now. So yeah, I get what you're saying with that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just see in the New Testament clearly that that Christ he gave this commission that the gospel should be preached, that is the way of salvation, that his word is what sanctifies. And it's not that the truth of Christ's deity, the truth of the power of the cross, wasn't attested to by signs and miracles, and the greatest one being what Jesus referred to, the sign of Jonah, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead on the third day. And you even have the Apostle John in one of his epistles saying to his audience, look, we're testifying to you about what we have seen and heard and touched, you know, the word made flesh. So the Bible isn't against giving a proof or evidence of the truth of salvation, but ultimately it's based on, you know, trusting in what Christ has done, believing in that. And as Jesus said, you know, to his disciples, I think it was to the 11, you know, blessed are you who believe, because you've seen me now raised from the dead, but there's even a greater blessing for those who have not seen and still believe. So faith comes in, and that's the instrument by which we're truly saved, faith in what Jesus did, not having a sign, not it being so incredibly wise by the day's standards, but just simple trust in what Christ has done and who he is.
Yeah, and I think one thing that we see in the New Testament a lot is there are lots and lots of people in Scripture who see both Jesus and the disciples do miraculous signs, and yet still they walk away unsaved, right? Not professing Jesus.
Exactly.
And so maybe that's, you know, in the book of Romans, how does it say faith comes?
Yeah, it comes by hearing the Word of God.
Yeah, it comes by hearing the Word of God. We're just told over and over again in Scripture that the way people come to Christ, the way that they come to faith, is through hearing God's word.
And you know, so, Jacob, you do see instances in Scripture where the truth of the gospel is attested to by signs, miracles, wonders. Mm-hmm. But what's the mistake that people will make today in church life, looking at those instances in the book of Acts, for example, and how they apply them today?
They act like you have to have those things to validify what's going on today. The gospel and its preaching is essential, but the signs are not. Is that a good way to put it?
That's right. I mean, just because something happened in one, you know, period of salvation history doesn't mean that it applies the same way today.
Yes, and some things change, some don't. So,
yes.
Anyway, as we're starting to wrap up, Sam, you want to?
Well, this has been a good show today, Jacob. It's been a great almost one full year that we've been able to do R&R, but this is the time when it's going to come to an end, and we have been doing this as a ministry through First Baptist Church of Sanford. We started it as a means to reach people when a lot of our ministries had changed because of COVID, but now we are moving back. We are resuming all of our normal activities. We have a change there, and so this is a time for us to move in another direction. And we also have another reason, Jacob, which is equally as important as to why we're stopping right now after today.
Yes. So this will be the last month that I work at First Baptist Church. So at the end of the month, I'll be moving on to a different ministry position. And so Sam's going to be turning his focus back to the things that are there in person at First Baptist. And I will probably have more on my plate in about a month. So I will also be looking at things that are on campus I need to take care of. So,
well, I also, just for our listeners, the ones that aren't aware, want to extend a congratulations to you, Jacob, on following God's call to be a senior pastor at Tramway Baptist Church here. Right down the road.
Yeah, literally. Right down the street from the radio station.
I think our listeners would want to be aware of that, so they can just be encouraged of how you're following God's leading in this, and be praying for you and praying for the church at Tramway Baptist, and also for First Baptist, please, as we seek to find who God has to succeed Jacob.
And Cindy.
Yeah. Well, we could keep going.
Yeah,
there.
We got a whole list. So, anyway, we appreciate all of DJ Roy's help, because we don't know anything about radio stuff.
Neither do I. You're good.
You've been great, Roy.
He does know a lot about movies, though.
I was about to say, that makes three of us. You're all right.
Well, we appreciate all that WWGP, WFGA have done for us. John, Chris, Roy, all those here. And thank you for listening to us. You've been a great encouragement and blessing to us. And we just pray God's blessings on each of you. Take care. We want to thank you for listening to the R&R show today. And look, if you don't have a church home currently, we'd like to invite you to visit us at the First Baptist Church of Sanford.
Yep, we're located at 202 Summit Drive here in Sanford, and we're currently having an outdoor service at 8:30. So bring your lawn chair and meet up with us in the morning.
We look forward to seeing you then.